I think we're rolling. We are rolling on with Times of Refreshing on our sixth week. Who can believe that? I'm mesmerized at how quickly this is going. Today's lesson is Rethinking Time, Part 1. This could last us for about the next 3 years. I'm just going to tell you that we are going to only scratch the surface of rethinking our mindsets about time. And by way of review, number one on my Roman numeral one on my outline is always going to be review, just about always, unless Jesus tells me different. I'm going to remind us about the target-shaped three-part being that we look like, the outer circle being in our body, the middle ring being our soul, and the inner circle being our spirit, and how we said that the mind portion of our soul oftentimes has blockages in it that keeps us from experiencing the peace and the rest of God. Because the message that God tells us is, my promise, today is the day. My promise still stands today. That promise of rest is still there for us. Today, if you hear his voice, you know, you can have rest. And yet, we're all seeing, and we trust God. We believe his word is true. We know he's good. We know he wants to give us this, but we're still not experiencing that all the time. And one of the things I've been acutely aware of is that my inbox is full of lots of messages about time that have an integral impact on the topic of rest. I mean, it's just part and parcel of it. And so we want to start to examine the way we actually view it. You know, and you can tell that by the way you live it, right? You know, because we can say we believe certain things, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You know, the evidence is by what we live. As a man thinks, so is he. So as our lives go, that pretty much tells us what we're thinking if we don't realize it, kind of thing. So we're going to start that process, but I did want to do a couple of bits of review just by means of clarification. We talked about having so many other voices, and that we're in the process of identifying what some of those are. And then we've started identifying some strategies that we want to use to combat those lies and then those mindsets and those strongholds of thinking and those emotional response patterns and those habit patterns that we talked about that are just kind of knee-jerk and default that we aren't even knowing. We want to start knowing. We want to have an awareness campaign. We talked about admitting that and being really honest and authentic about what we really are believing. And then we've been really focusing a lot on this thing about appreciation and giving thanks. Because I think if you will focus on that, I think what you'll find is that we really, really do have a lot to appreciate in our lives. And that's the critical voices and the voices of all that's negative are such a hindrance to walking in peace and walking in rest. So those were three of the strategies, I think, about 2 weeks ago that we came up with. And then, well, we'll say that God came up with them because they came from the Bible. How about that? And then we talked last week about death, discipline, and delight. And I wanted to go back to this thing about death to our old man and how that leads to delight. You know, death, if you look at what some theologians say, death is nothing more than separation from God. I mean, that's what hell is that you're going to be banished from the presence of God forever, you know? And so if you think about it, if our old nature keeps sending us the signal that real, true fulfillment in life comes from getting our own way, basically, that leads us away from God. You know, it makes us turn our back on God, and it puts a separation between us and him. And that is like death. It's like that thing, those verses we read a couple of weeks ago in Proverbs where it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. They don't lead us toward God. They lead us away from God. And so Romans 8:6 is a theological point that I think we all want to make sure we understand and believe. And this is from the New Living. It says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. I love that verse, and I thought the New Living said it well, that we find peace, and the Holy Spirit is peace. So we want to reinforce those principles and keep circling back to those that, you know, that rest is found in our thinking process, and that rest is found in the presence of God that dwells within us. And that an experience and getting in touch with that is when we do actually get in touch with the joy and the peace and the love of God that lives inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. When we do have those divine appointments, when we do have those moments where we see, oh, God really did work that out after all. It didn't look like it was going to get there along the way, but then those moments do bring us to light. I mean, you just like, oh, and I think, why am I surprised? Why am I surprised when God does that? But he is a promise maker and he is a promise keeper. And so that is delightful about him. We talked a little bit about weariness, and I loved this verse, and I was remiss in not saying it last week, that rest, of course, is the opposite of weariness, and rest is found in hearing God's voice. And this is like the first verse I ever learned, and I love the way this talks about Jesus being the ultimate disciple in Isaiah 50 verse 4 in the New American Standard. This is what is spoken of Jesus by way of a prophetic word. The Lord God has given me, Jesus, the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. So, wow, what an amazing gift we have in Jesus, that he really will wake up our ears. He wakes our hearts up. He wakes our minds up. He wakes our spirit up. And he can instruct us and sustain us with a word. And so thus, when we're, you know, really at the bottom line of it all, when we have a situation, when we have a decision, when we have an issue, when we have an emotion, really, the phrase, you just need a word, girl, is kind of, you know, summarized in that verse. That is what we need. We need that word that sustains us in our weariness from the Lord. So anyway, that's kind of rounding up some things that I left undone in the previous lessons. And now I want to move to Roman numeral 2, which is number 1 was review and number 2 was overview. I certainly can. Oh, that's touching though. You don't want it touching. How's that? Is that better? Okay, overview. We're going to do an overview on time this morning. And let's look at the classic, what I consider to be a classic time passage from Ecclesiastes 3. I'm going to read the first 11 verses from the New Living that says, "There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to rebuild, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak up, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And I'll stop there. That's through verse 8. You know, and I started thinking about that, and I thought, do I really believe that? That there's a specific appointed time for each one of those things for my life? And I think, oh, wow, that's really comforting to think that God has an appointed time for each one of those broad categories. And I love knowing that he knows what that time is and that he's willing to communicate that to me when I need to know, you know, on his timetable. So I found that to be very comforting. And now I realize what I lost in my notes. I reprinted my lesson, and I thank you, Jesus, that I didn't throw the old one away, because part of it didn't print. Jackson came home this week, and he was using the printer, and he said to me, let's just change the subject and talk about my printer. He said, "Mom, this is a third world printer." And now I am agreeing with the boy. It is right what you say, Jackson. Okay, so while we're on this earth, we're bound by time. Yeah, because we're human beings, we're limited. Okay, and so I would like to identify two types of time as I've done my study on it, because I always like to go in and think, okay, you know, I think I know what it means, but I really want to know what it really means. And I found that there are two types of time if you look at Greek, and it's chronos is the one, if you think about chronological, that is the one that we most often use. That's the time of calendars and of the clock, so to speak. And it's based on the Greek deity that if you go on the internet and look up the word chronos and look up images, you'll see all these pictures of this godlike being in from the Greek mythology days that is devouring and eating his children. And I thought about that, and I thought, I know how that feels on this topic. You know, that it seems like it gets us instead of us having it, kind of thing. And it's, I was searching for a word for vanishes quickly, and my English major daughter, since I mentioned Jackson, let me say something about Meryl Lee now, that I texted her and said, what's a word for vanishes quickly? She said, how about ephemeral? And so I'm going to use the word ephemeral, that it, you know, it seems to evaporate very quickly, you know. So that would be the word chronos. And as I stopped to kind of get a feel for that, the picture that came to my mind was the hamster on the wheel, just that. The second word is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, and it is defined as an opportunity. It is rich with purpose. And this kind of time is intentional and redemptive, but it's also full of interruptions. And what the picture that God revealed to me about what Kairos time looks like is the life of Jesus. And we'll be talking about that some more in the future. But I have really been acutely aware this week of how desperately I need God to come and to change my mind for the better about time. I need this. And so I'm excited to be studying this. I need to repent. And on several occasions in the last 7 days, this has been a season where I was so identifying with Stephanie and her saying, it seems chaotic, not restful, but in the end she found rest. That's kind of been characteristic more of my life in this season than it has in previous seasons. And so I'll wake up with that feeling in the pit of my stomach of just with my eyes popping up and thinking, just that anxiety, my chest is tight and just thinking, oh, I've got so much to do today or this week or. You know, and so, but quickly being aware of, wait a minute, that's not God. That's not what he wants for me. I want to battle this. I want to go to battle with some truth, and I want to fight the enemy on this, and he's a thief. He's a liar, and I want to win, and I believe we can win. God always leads us in triumph, he tells us. And so, more than once, I came to my prayer closet and just said, Lord, help. You say that rest comes from listening to you, and I need to experience your peace today. I need to experience your rest. I need your wisdom on how to tackle all that I think I'm supposed to be doing and how to decide among all of that. And I knew, and I do know by experience, that only his voice is going to bring that peace that I need, and he's going to sustain this weary one with his word. And so he gave me two verses that I thought were very helpful. One was 2 Corinthians 1:10. And this is from the New American Standard. It says, God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. So what does that mean? I mean, it sounds kind of out of context, but what that said to me is the God who has delivered me. I mean, if he can save my soul from hell and make a dead soul live, he has delivered me, and he is delivering me right now, and he will yet deliver me. And if I think back about what my time life looked like in the years past and in the decades past, I will say he's delivered me, and I'm in the process of being delivered, but I know there's more for me that I am yet to be delivered, and I'm excited to trust him with that. And the other verse he gave me was Hebrews 10:16 from the New American Standard, and it says, this is the covenant I make. I will put my laws upon their hearts, and on their mind, I will write them. And I thought, yes, Oh, I started meditating on that, and I thought, God, thank you that you are a covenant maker. You are a promise maker, and you are a promise keeper. And you were saying that you've put, this is quoting from that passage in Ezekiel that talks about, I will give them a new heart. And we all have a new heart within us, that new nature. We've got it, y'all. It's ours. That is in there. And on that heart is written his truth. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Kathy, this is not a heart issue with you. I know I've got your heart. And that just blessed me so much because I thought, Lord, I really do want to follow you. I really do want to do your will more than anything. More than anything. And it was like he was going, I know. It's on your mind. On your mind, I'm going to write these. Change your mind for the better. I'm going to change your mind for the better. I'm going to grant that to you as you seek to follow me. Just follow me, and I'll lead you to a better place. And I was excited, and I felt like I had the liberty to pray that for every single one of us. So that's where we're heading. And I'm looking for a big old breakthrough here. In fact, I wrote in my journal, Lord, thank you for the powerful light you brought using these verses. You have delivered me so much, and I give you thanks for that. And it just helped me to get over myself, to thank him for what he had already done. Thank you that I'm so much more free than I once was. I believe that you're saying that my heart is not the problem, but that I have a thinking problem. I agree, and I'm asking for a big old breakthrough here. I open to your view of work and of rest and of time. Come and do your business, Lord. I want to make room for you. Thank you that you are expanding my borders as you extract the foolish and worldly thinking I've accumulated. And so I felt like the Lord saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do what it says in Lamentations 3:40. And this is from the Message. It says, let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. I loved that. Let's take a good look at the way we're living, and then let's reorder our lives under God. And that was Lamentations 3:40 from the Message. And so that leads me to my third Roman numeral. We're going to talk about two or three points today about God's view of time. Well, it's expansive. God's really going to have to expand our borders. And it's kind of like that Lamentations verse about reordering our lives under God. One of my favorite things to do, and it comes in handy this time of year, you know, when the weather starts changing, it does it for me to get in my closet and get all the boxes down of all the next season stuff and get all my stuff out, and just I get my bed all cleared off, and I just lay everything in stacks, and I get those plastic bins out, and then I even got into my makeup drawer, and I got into my jewelry, and I just, oh, I got it. And I went to Bed Bath & Beyond. I used my 20% coupon, and I got these little things that you break it up into, you know, sections, and I just love that. I love reordering. That does it for me. That is my love language. And so I felt like the Lord was saying, you remember how that felt to kind of get all your stuff? And I'll say, hey, Bob, come and look. And I'll say, see this, you know. And this is the messiest human being that's ever been born. No, I'm not kidding. But he is so sweet. He'll go, oh, that looks so good, baby. That looks so good, you know, because he knows it's doing it for me. So anyway, I feel like that's what God wants to do. He wants to reorder. And when we're going to come away and we're going to look and say, look, then that, I mean, just see. And we're going to be talking about the testimonies we have and this thing about time. And we're going to be loving the way that looks and feels. And I feel like God wants to do that same similar supernatural work in us and break us out of these distrustful, disordered, dysfunctional patterns we've got about time. Because, y'all, we have adopted worldly thinking. There is no two ways about it. That's just the truth. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has made everything beautiful for its time. And he has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So, yeah, that's kind of helpful to know, is that we really can't see the end from the beginning. We've got to have God for that. He's the only one that does. It tells us that in Isaiah 46:10. He sees the end from the beginning. So we've got to expand our view of time. We've got to look at its limits, and we've got to look at its potential. And we've really got to open ourselves up to making ourselves available to what he says and challenging ourselves with the truths of God. And I thought, yeah, I've got some, talking about discipline, we talked about discipline and new thinking habits last week. Boy, I can see lots of training on the horizon. And which brought me to one of my all-time favorite verses God used in such a miraculous way in my life way back when I was in a big transition time. And it's Psalm 90, verse 12. And this is from the NIV. It says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Y'all, what a great prayer is that. Teach us to number our days aright. And y'all, numbering our days aright is going to require humility, teachability, flexibility. Got to be willing to expand our view. And we've got to be willing to get uncomfortable, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Kind of like that verse we talked about last week. You know, it feels like it's going against the grain when you're learning something new. So we got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And the verse that I felt led to put with that was Matthew 9, 16 and 17 from the NIV that says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So what does that mean? That means we got to get us some new wineskins on the subject of time, that we don't want to put this new teaching, this new truth, this new view into our old schedule or our old thinking habit. That's not going to work. We got to expand. We got to be flexible. And practically speaking, this means, you know, learning the way we do time will be changing. I mean, it's gonna, and we want it to. I hope everybody wants it to. And so for me, over the years, as I was thinking about how God has delivered me and is delivering me, I thought, practically speaking, the way this has looked for me in the past, sometimes it's meant closing the ranks, circling the wagons, fasting from activities. God has just kind of pulled me out and aside for times of training or transition, times when it's been intense. He's really backed me off. There have been other times where the Lord has, talking about expanding my borders. I mean, who knew what this was going to mean? It would mean leaving a career that was very lucrative, starting a ministry, writing a blog, dusting off a diploma. And one of the things the Lord reminded me of when I was putting on my mascara this morning, that's another time he'll slip something to me. He reminded me of one of the first times I really ever experienced this was Vacation Bible School, and I wish I knew what year this was, but this is a while back. This is when I had preschoolers. And this was back when this was not a paid position, it was a volunteer position, and everybody would, it was like roaches when you turn the lights on. People would start running because when the word got out we needed a Vacation Bible School director, it cleared out fast, you know. And y'all, it was kind of like, okay, and so I had preschoolers, and it was that thing where I think maybe I was in the Tuesday, Thursday phase. I had 2 3-hour stretches, buddy. Talking about time, having a value on time, baby. Tuesday and Thursday, that was my time. So when I talked to the previous VBS director, I was saying, "Hey, Susan, can you tell me about how that worked for you?" "Yeah, I just take my Mother's Day out days, and I would just go up to the church and work on that." And I'm thinking, "You did what?" Okay. But y'all, God, I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't escape it. It was like I thought, white flag, I surrender. Okay, so I went to see Judy Mead. She was the children's director at that time. I said, "Judy," and she just looked at me. She's, "Kathy, this is, you're it, girl." And I went, "I know, but what I realized is this is going to cost me my mom's day out time, And I thought, but you know what? I was gone after that. It was like so amazing to watch God work. It was amazing, 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 amazing. It was more fun, really, than going to lunch. It really was. It was. And so, anyway, that's a little bit about having an expanded view of time. And so we can, it really was restful. I mean, there was a lot of work involved, but I was resting from all that other stuff that really wasn't making me feel rested, So it was refreshing, definitely. And one of the verses that God's given me in this season that reminds me of this, and it's expansive, in the sense, especially in this season that from the outside, my season feels scattered right now. I don't feel ordered. But I do know that there is a I'm in an appointed time, and that this there's a time for the things I'm called to. And so God gave me this verse, and this particularly applies to what I do in my career world. Psalm 84:10 from the Message says, "I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin." And I thought, you know what, how many times when I've been standing there doing the drudge job have I thought, I really would rather be scrubbing floors, God, because I know that's this is the place you have me right now. So I've expanded my view. So God's time is expansive, and it is, Roman numeral 4, expensive. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking I'm not going to say everything I have on my paper here. But what I am going to say is this. You know, in our society, it's okay to be stingy with time. In fact, that's kind of normal. People think you're stupid if you're not. You know, you got to look out for number one. If you don't, who's going to, you know, you got to do your thing. You got to get out there and you got to get successful. And, you know, time's how you do it. That is a limited commodity, and you've got to make every minute count, kind of thing. But in God's economy, I mean, it's different. It is different, and I'm going to tell you that to experience his peace and rest means letting him have the reins, y'all. And that's expensive because basically it costs you everything. And Peter said that to Jesus. He said, "Hey, Jesus, we've left all to follow you." This is in Mark 10:28 and following. So Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, or Mother's Day out, or, you know, whatever it is, for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time." God wants to bless our time. It's going to cost us our time. But there's a reward that can't be measured in earthly terms. There's no earthly measuring system for the rewards we get that Jesus is saying 100-fold. I've got so much abundance for you, so much more than you think. All that stuff you think you want, it's nothing compared to what I've got for you. So what, and the way, you know, so living on purpose, living for God's purpose, that's something that can't be bought. You look, search the web sometimes. Don't do this because I got some stuff that was really kind of sketchy. But for what do people really want? People want peace. People want joy. People want love. Guess what? We already got that. We got that. And we got it from him, and it lives inside of us, and it's just a matter of getting rid of some of that stinking thinking to let it get down in there and to do this thing of, you know, not being afraid of giving God our time. God used this verse for me. He said, you know, "Kathy, that anxiety you've been feeling about your time," he said, "think about this, is that my perfect love cast out fear," it says in 1 John 4:18. You don't have to fear what I'm going to do to you or what I'm going to call you to, because I love you. I got you. I got your back. And I want what's best for you and what's good for you and what's going to give your life the most meaning and purpose. And then let's say the last one is Roman numeral 5. And my notes are numbered wrong. Expectant. I loved this verse. Back on this thing about God using a different measuring system and a different economy on time than we do. 1 Peter 1:3 in the New Living says, "Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead." I mean, you know, again, it's this thing, if he can do that, this time thing is easy. It's so hard for us, but it's so easy for him. But we're going to have to adopt his view. And once we do, what we're going to do is find something amazing happens. We start getting freedom. Because if you look at Kairos time, the kind of time that Jesus lived, you know, if searching the scripture, here's the closest thing I found to Jesus' schedule. Y'all ready for this? Jesus said this about himself, and this is in John 3:8. It says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases." You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's cool, isn't it? Every time I see a leaf, for whatever reason, that says to me, you know, a leaf, you can't see the wind, but you can see the wind blowing a leaf. And so that always reminds me of that verse, and so especially this time of the year, it's just a constant reminder of, oh, that's how it is in the life of the Spirit. That's what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. There's a lot of not knowing involved, y'all. And so if you're like me, I like to know. I like to be prepared. And that there's a big part of me that knows I can trust him with this. I really know I can trust him. I really know he loves me. But there's that also that, you know, feeling of, you know, this is requiring a lot of flexibility. This is requiring a lot of not knowing. And, you know, Jesus also said this about himself, John 5:30, from the Message. I can't do a solitary thing on my own. I listen and then I decide. You can trust my decision because I'm not out to get my own way, but only to carry out orders. Y'all, that is what freedom looks like in the area of time. That Jesus, who knew all, had all power, all knowledge, did nothing on his own. But he listened, he waited, he listened, and then he carried out his orders. And so, you know, I guess what you could summarize that by saying is that he saw his God the Father as the Lord of his days. He was the Lord of time. And if you look at the life of Jesus, and we'll be doing this some, I hope, in the future, is that God's presence and God's purposes often come in disguise. Interruptions. Frustrations, difficult people, detours, surprises. You know, God is predictable in this, that he's pretty unpredictable. I mean, we always know that he's loving and faithful. But you can't outguess God. You can't make this stuff up. I don't know if anybody's seen the blog this week, but I got so tickled. A, I was not planning on writing a blog. B, God interrupted my lesson preparation with this Bible verse that ended up starting the blog, and he took me on a detour of the pictures. He said, "Why don't you why don't you just look at those pictures? When you write that blog, just look at the pictures you want to put in there." And so, y'all, I started looking at those pictures, and I was just like, oh. And I remembered each one of those moments in time when God interrupted my day. And I just thought, oh, Jesus, that's so sweet. That's so sweet that you would make a boy stop to smoke a cigarette in the parking lot of the place that I wasn't even planning to go to run an errand for my son. And you would just happen to have him light up right where I pulled in, right on the exact day that I had just taught a lesson whose main point was obedience from John chapter 14, where it said in verse 15, 21, and 23, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And I pull up, and this little dude is standing there smoking a cigarette with this neon shirt on that said, obey, obey, obey. And I just went, where's my camera? I jumped out. I was on the phone, and I said, I got to go. Bye. I jumped out of my car. I said, excuse me, sir. And he's looking at me like, are you talking to me? Uh-huh. And I said, can I take a picture of your shirt? He said, sure. And then he just kind of did. And I just thought, wow. 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 I mean, that sounds kind of made up, doesn't it? You can't make that. Who would even think that up? Who would think that would be a believable story? I wouldn't try to pass that off on anybody. And yet, God of glory, the Lord of time, decided that today was the day I needed to be encouraged. Today was the day that I needed to be, hi, Kathy, I see you. I saw you. Hey. That was right what you did today. Good for you. Thanks for saying. Thanks for seeing. I saw you. And my insides just exploded. So I got excited yesterday and wrote a blog post because I thought, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. I really don't have time to do this today, but you're the Lord of my time, and I want somebody to get this, that you, they can have the Lord of time and his voice of love and majesty and glory break the cedars and thunder with power and say, I love you. And if you will give me your days, and if you'll give me your minutes, and if you'll give me your hours, and if you'll trust me with your years, you'll be refreshed. So teach us, Lord, to number our days aright, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And I'm going to close with the Message version of Ecclesiastes 3, and then we'll pray and do our one thing. Ecclesiastes 3 from the Message says, there's an opportune time to do things, a right time. So we want to order our days aright. There's a right time for everything on the earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part, a right time to search and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on and another to let go, a right time to rip out and another to mend, a right time to shut up and another to speak up, a right time to love and another to hate, a right time to wage war and another to make peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the one who knows the right time for everything, Lord, that every one of our days was written in your book before there was yet one of them, Lord, that there's not a thought in our head or a word on our lips. There's not a second that we lie down or sit down or stand up or a step that we take that you don't know. Lord, thank you that you're so intimately acquainted with our ways and that you love us so perfectly. Lord, I pray that we would get in touch with that incredible, incredible intimacy and love that's ours, that we have that, that we can take advantage of, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would cause us to repent of holding on to our time, Lord. Father, help us to let go, just like it said. There's a right time to let go. God, I pray that this would be our time to let go of our grip on our precious time. And Lord, that we would give it to you as the Lord of time, that we would bow before you as Lord and Father and husband and big brother and friend, and that we would trust your incredible love and your ability to guide us and to speak to us and to show us your purposes and to give us joy and delight and peace and rest and refreshment as we walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Teach us, Lord, yes, teach us to number our days aright. And we just thank you that whatsoever you've called us to do, Lord, that we can count on you to do it. And we ask that you would. In Jesus' name, amen.